Hey, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us one more time at Talk Truth Radio. I'm Dr. Rain Morgan, and I have my co-host online, Dr. Sandra Rose Michael. Good evening, Dr. Rose.
Hey, and aloha from Hawaii today. So I hope everybody's having a beautiful day. We're having a beautiful day in paradise here.
Yeah. Hey, it's much aloha. I got that from Michael.
Much aloha means oneness with the breath and the love of all life, and we're here to share in that spirit of love and oneness, oneness with that eternal energy and power that interconnects all things and animates our hearts and then fills us with the love that we share and talk truth. And we share from that principle of, you know, our cells vibrate with that resonance of truth.
They do. I want to tell you folks out there just a little bit about myself and about Dr. Sandra Rose Michael and Energy Enhancement Systems. And I won't take up a whole lot of airtime because, Dr. Rose, we have a wonderful, fabulous guest on tonight. I've been waiting for this show, and I think the folks out there are going to be honored to listen to him. We have Dr. David from the Light Party on this evening. So just a little bit about me. I am a doctor of philosophy. I'm an ordained science of mind minister, and I am called, so they say, a psychic healer. I've been doing this work for more than 30 years. I've been doing radio for more than 11 years. And Dr. Sandra Rose, who is the sponsor of our show, I produce it, she sponsors it, is the innovator of energyenhancementsystem.com. I'll lay that address out there right now. Dr. Rose, take just a minute and talk about scalar energy before we get to Dr. David.
Well, bioscalar energy is the energy the body relates to heal and regenerate anything, and we just love miracles. We're bringing that to the world, literally bringing it out to the world, and we've been working with doctors, and maybe we'll have some wonderful things to share about the new news to share tonight about the technology. But I'm excited about meeting David. I've heard a lot about him, and I've been tracking that, his books and writings and the Light Party for a long time. So it gives us a healthy platform for world peace, which you know that I've been very involved with, too, with the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine. It's through healing we create peace.
We do. We do. Let's get Dr. David on. I am sitting here looking at his website right now, and I have to tell you that it's vast. I'd like to send all of you, I know you're listening to the radio show right now, but as soon as you finish, I want you to go immediately to the website, please. Here's a call to action. Go to thelightparty.com and check it out. Dr. David, good evening.
Yes, good evening. It's a beautiful evening here in Mill Valley.
It is. Dr. David, and can I just call you David, and you call me Rain, and we'll call her Sandra,
that's perfect.
And it makes it really easy.
Really, fine.
Yeah. I want to talk for a minute about, well, the Light Party as a whole, and then we'll get into some of the projects that you have going on, redoing an old prison, a very famous old prison. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the art that you create. I wish you folks could see the website. I have to be, I don't have to be on the web listening to the show, so I can, as we are talking to him, I can skip all around. So there's a ton of stuff to talk about. But, David, will you please start with the fact that you're a physician. How did you go from a allopathic MD to doing what you do now?
Well, that's a good question. That's a big story. But essentially, in the thumbnail, I was doing, I was a British-trained MD, and I came to the United States and went out to San Francisco in the late, mid-70s, and I was in a residency program. I did my internship in San Francisco, and at that time I was being exposed to there was a time where there was a huge consciousness awakening happening, and I was exposed to a lot of new ideas, particularly in the area of naturopathic medicine, in terms of Chinese medical philosophy, so on and so forth. And as I wrote a book in the middle of my residency, I was really quite, I was in opposition to a lot of the things that were happening there. The way I frame it is that I was really a naturopath in an allopathic world, and I was also being reinitiated into the esoteric sciences via the Kabbalah, and began to understand the spiritual, what we call the holistic paradigm, spirit, mind, body. And then I realized that I was involved in a very simplistic, scientific, materialistic paradigm called allopathic medicine, and I had already expanded beyond that. Of course, I heard that you're involved with the science of mind, and which is really the foundation of Buddhism, but that's a whole other subject, and became much more spiritually and psychologically aware, and I realized that disease really had many facets to it. Of course, as you know, in medical school, in the allopathic model at that time, nobody even studied nutrition. So I wrote a book while I was in the midst of my transformation and transition called Medicine Today, Healing Tomorrow, which was a call to take another look at the foundation of the allopathic model, and talked about prevention and talked about the importance of chiropractic, the importance of spiritual awareness, the importance of basically clean water, clean air, and most importantly, that disease is ultimately the result of unconscious choices. So it was a revolutionary book at the time, because at that time things were pretty much in a lockdown. And fortunately, I left my residency because I just could not continue to do what I was being asked to do, because I took the Hippocratic Oath seriously.
Right.
So I was given this foundation called the San Francisco Medical Research Foundation, which has a very strong focus, vision, purpose, and goals. And one of those was to educate the general public and the medical profession into the holistic paradigm. And a lot of my work has to do with educating people about the power of sound and light and vibrational medicine, so on and so forth. And it's just as I evolve and my consciousness evolved, I got more and more into the arts, and the artist in me really began to blossom. And we started doing music festivals and bringing healers. We were sort of like at the foundation of what were called the whole life festivals, but we were doing them outside, and so on and so forth. And from that point on, in '84, I was guided to start a political movement, which was called the Human Ecology Party, which was to bring the holistic paradigm into the political arena, which, fast-forwarding, has now evolved into what is called the Light Party. And the number one point of the Light Party is Project Health. And it's predicated on axiomatic principle, or idea that the strength of our nation is directly proportional to the health of our people. And then the corollary to that is the health of our people is directly proportional to the health of the soil, because healthy soil creates healthy plants, and healthy plants create healthy people. So on and so forth. And we're talking about the mineral kingdom and micronutrients. And at that time, and even now, of course, this is very political, because we have serious ecological damage on this planet. The air, the water, the food, so on. Everybody knows has been poisoned to a certain extent. So this is very political. How do we rectify this situation? How do we bring back, you know, the concept of ecology, human ecology, and begin to understand the vital importance of the healthy ecosystem, which is basically common sense now. So we address all those points from a macroeconomic level, an ecological level, to a micro level, and a lot of what I talk about is detoxification of the body. And how do we do that? And how do we raise our vibrations? How do we become more conscious? How do we become more attuned to the spiritual self, which is the foundation of love, wisdom, and power? How do we reclaim our power and become masters of our mental, emotional body, and become conscious co-creators on planet Earth? I mean, that's pretty much what we're about. That's what the Light Party is about: education, empowerment, and transformation. And we've laid out a very powerful, clear, comprehensive, integrated 7-point platform that has a very strong political non-dualistic approach to resolving our current socioeconomic and ecological challenges. That's a mouthful, but that's pretty much the story.
I think everybody would benefit from, you know, whatever party they've subscribed to or not. I think everybody would benefit by reading through those platforms and understanding what an intelligently laid program this has been. And of course, I followed the human ecology movement before it became the light, you know, the Light Party, which is its current name. And it was just great material. So I want to thank you so much for your work.
Well,
this is one of the things that I talked about when I produced the event 2 years ago. I gave out flyers to everybody with the Republic or the Libertarian and the Green parties and you know the Natural Law parties, and I said, everybody, contact all of these people and say, pull it together under one umbrella. United we stand, divided we fall. And I don't know how anybody else is looking at this, but it seems to me like a real, true third party is the apocalypse of sorts. It's what is needed now to pull this earth back into some kind of balance.
Well, the good news is that that party exists. It's just we've been working quietly and powerfully with millions of people and individuals and groups all over the world that are working on different facets of creating health, peace, and freedom for all. I mean, there is a divine template for liberation of humanity, and as you know, we are on an ascension curve, which has to do with this whole scale away that humanity and our consciousness is moving into another level of awareness or consciousness, which is really the here and now. But I would like to say that, just to summarize, that the Light Party is a holistic, proactive, educational empowerment party, and it's a synthesis of the Republican, Democratic, Libertarian, and Green parties. So while we're not out there known necessarily in the mainstream, we've been working quietly and powerfully with, as I say, millions of people who are really doing the work.
It's not about adversarial. It's about how do we come together and create the greater community.
Absolutely. And David, will we vote for someone from, say, the collective, vote for a couple of people that we would choose to run for president, vice president? Are we going to see people on the ticket?
Well, what's most important, because we're a grassroots organization, is that, you know, the ancient and eternal wisdom, the foundation of the ancient eternal wisdom is getting very clear on what you want. And what we're saying is that we want clean water, we want clean air, we want to demilitarize. We have to get our priorities straight. Because one of the things that we say very clearly is that all the power that ever was or will be is here now. And you can substitute that word power with love, with wisdom, with intelligence, with compassion. Because, as you know, everything exists simultaneously. So it's to the degree that we connect spiritually and become activated that we become, you know, a blessing in our lives with everybody else. And what's happening on the planet is there's breakthroughs happening in all the areas of art, science, philosophy, religion. So the fact is, I think our great service is that we've articulated a very clear possibility, and for me it's not a possibility, it's an inevitability, called health, peace, and freedom for all. And the deeper you look and the more you investigate, you realize that this is not just some, you know, utopian vision, but it's ultimately an outcome and it's a process, because consciousness is progressive. And if you were, let's say, God, Goddess, all that is, and you understood yourself as the One, then it's obviously there's nothing more that you would want, like a loving father or a loving mother, to absolutely empower your son, your daughter, your child to become all that it is. Now, as above, so below. So you can see humanity as the child of Mother, Father, God. God is all that is. And that empowerment, which is creativity, is an ongoing process. So as far as I'm concerned, we've emerged and we are emerging victorious. It's inevitability. And there's a drama on the planet of the so-called light forces versus the dark forces. But when you move into scale away of consciousness, into Christ consciousness, there's no left and right anymore. There's just the middle path of pure awareness.
Yeah, it's accelerated evolution into that point of oneness and awareness. So and people waking up to remember.
And choice.
Scalar has to do with infinity. It's eternal. It's our eternal beingness showing up.
David, would you get into a little bit of detail about Project Light? I'm sitting here looking at that page on your site right now. Let's talk about global warming. What can we do to help stop that?
Well, as far as, you know, greenhouse gases, that's a part of the picture. Global warming is also a result of the fact that the Earth herself is receiving a lot more light, cosmic light energy. So it's not just a question of greenhouse gases, but regardless of whether we think it's greenhouse gases or that's partially the story, it's to everybody's advantage that we wean ourselves as soon as possible off of a fossil fuel-based economy. And when you begin to study technologies, you begin to see that they're just, which have been to this point in time, have been suppressed, that there are things as esoteric as running a car on water to, I'm aware of 5, 6, 10, 20 technologies that would dramatically wean us off of fossil fuels and we'd stop poisoning the atmosphere. And of course,
yes,
people who've gotten into this field.
French fry grease.
Excuse me?
Do you remember that? Do you remember the,
right.
There was something on the Discovery Channel about this gentleman that found that he could run some sort of an engine, went around to the restaurants, collected used grease and oil, French fry oil, frying oil, and drove his car back and forth across the United States.
Well, the important point in terms of from a point of principle is that once we clearly articulate the problem, inevitably inherent within the problem, the solution exists. So, you know, is we have this thing called the Iraqi war, and we've had, you know, vast amounts of money being spent to protect Middle Eastern oil fields, when everybody who's got half of a conscience knows that, or mind, that that money could be well spent, and basically in 5 years or less, we'd have an absolutely free-running economy based on unlimited clean energy. Everybody who studied this knows this. So you're dealing with certain
forces. The technology is all already available to us now. I mean,
exactly.
It's all here now. We have all the technology to actually handle, clean up, and improve the environment at every level, both at a personal level for people, but, you know, but a planetary level for humanity. It is all here. It is all available. So it's a matter of making those shifts. As far as global warming, we also, here I am in Hawaii. I flew yesterday over the volcano. We have the most active volcano in the world. We have new lands coming up. There's a lot of volcanic activity. There's activity in the Earth itself that is warming things up. It's not the global warming, per se, that's the problem. The thing is, if we love ourselves, if we love our children, if we love our planet, we're going to quit poisoning it. You know, there's got to be better choices.
Well, there's another thing to understand to put things into a perspective, not that we want to use this as a, in quotes, an excuse, but if you study cycles, and obviously we're transiting into a new cycle, an enlightened cycle, the Aquarian Age. But if you study the cosmology of the Hindu teachings and, of course, the Mayan teachings, we're moving out of this Kali Yuga cycle, which is, a very dark, it's called the Age of Ignorance and Separation, which is a fear-based paradigm, and into the Age of Purification and ultimately into a Satyuga, which is a Golden Age. Now, there's lots of different ideas as where we are at in the different timelines. But the paradox is, since all time is now, we can individually say, I'm choosing, and that's the key. I'm choosing right here, right now, for myself, health, I'm choosing peace, and I'm choosing freedom. It's simply a collective individual choice. And the universe is amazing because, as you know, in terms of the science of mind, the universe tends to agree with our choices, good, bad, or indifferent, correct?
Absolutely.
So the bottom line is that we're all co-creating what we call the world, and what we call history is the result of the collective consciousness / unconsciousness of humanity. Well, therein lies the problem, but therein also lies the solution and the hope, because it's really all about education and transformation of consciousness, which has always been understood by the masters and the truly enlightened beings, that the destiny of humanity would ultimately be glorious, because it was always understood that humanity would go through an awakening process slash an enlightenment process, in which when that occurs, right action is inevitable. Right action is in the moment, because we'll always make higher choices. We're going to choose to clean up the planet. We're going to choose organic foods. We're going to choose clean water. We're going to choose, not only choose now, we're going to demand it. Now, that's where the political thing, so we're looking like who's going to be the next president. Well, the Light Party is about you becoming president by coming very present. And by becoming very present and getting politically and socially and ecologically active, you can write, email, fax, you know, send the message to whatever the issue is. Because if you go to the Light Party website, the template or the entrance into the Light Party is very simple. It's a thing called sacred commitment. That's the foundation of the Light Party. And after you make this commitment, it's not about signing onto any religious creed or anything. It's a commitment between you, yourself, and Creator and humanity. Because I'm choosing, I'm choosing a commitment, and the commitment is spelled out. And then from there, there's a thing called current political action alerts. And we've listed on and on, maybe 60 different groups that are working on different facets. It could be low-frequency active sonar. It could be the dealing with genetic engineering of food. It could be save the whale, stop, you know, commercial fishing, on and on and on. So there are all these different groups working at the nonprofit level, National Resource Defense Council, on and on, that are working to alert the public, the general public, as to different things like Greenpeace, to bring their attention to certain actions that are really deleterious to humanity. And these different groups all work the same way. They highlight a problem or challenge. They send out an email. They send out printed matter, and they alert their organization as to what they think is important or relevant or, in quotes, a crisis, and then they'll take on an action. I was very much involved with the whole thing with the low-frequency active sonar. I don't want to acknowledge the good people of Hawaii, but I found out about that right in the beginning, and we connected with people on Maui, and they brought in a lawyer and began to really confront the Navy and so on and so forth. So finally, the issue became a mainstream issue and was picked up by the National Resource Defense Council. The reason I'm mentioning that, it's still an ongoing situation, because there's literally a handful of people who actually became aware of the thing, the situation, and were outraged by it, and took on one of the most powerful institutions on the planet called the United States Navy. So there you go.
But it shows, I love how you said, it's about being present, it's about us showing up, and if we don't use our voice, we don't have a voice. If we, you know, we've got to show up and be present enough rather than going into a place of complacency where people have thought that they, there wasn't anything they could do, or that it didn't matter what they did, it wasn't going to change things. And as long as you think you can't, you can't. When you know you
can't.
Well,
that's the whole point, is being powerless. But, you know, in the Hindu teachings, there are three types of people. There are the wise, there's the rajasic, the sattvic, and then there's the tamasic, which is the inertia. And that's the collective unconscious that is, you know, pretty locked into a fear matrix. And this current administration is, you know, that's their ace, Trump. They run the fear program. And, you know, the movie The Matrix dealt with it. There was a good movie called V for Vendetta. So they run fear. And when you buy into the fear, you become powerless and you become frightened. And you basically go unconscious because, we got to stand up and speak our peace. You know, people say speak peace to power, you know, speak truth to power. And what I say is just speak the truth powerfully, or powerfully speak the truth. Now, what do we mean by truth? You know, well, ultimately, the most powerful truth is the truth of being, that I am, that we are. We are, we were, we will always be. That's eternal being. Well, if we really own that, and we reclaim our power, there's nothing in the outer world that can threaten us, correct?
Absolutely.
Correct?
There are no victims.
Correct.
There's
we
no
what?
The power, really.
Yeah, there's nothing outside of ourselves. So whatever the issue is, and obviously one of the core issues now, no doubt we'd all agree, I mean, let me put it out to you, what would you consider to be the three or four main issues that we as a people either in the United States or on the planet, what do you consider to be the critical issues? Because let's discuss that. In
medicine.
What?
Our health.
Well, health is a big piece of that. And well,
the bottom line is, you know, ignorance, you know. I mean, if you want to, you know, is ignorance. So, yeah, health, that's like the, as far as the United States is concerned, all the polls say that the number one issue most Americans are concerned about is health. So, how do we resolve that? How do we look at that? What's the perspective? What's the magnifying glass that we can bring to this thing called health?
Food.
Yeah, because that means making healthy choices at every level. And you say health, it's holistic.
So we have to protect and maintain an ecosystem that has been very much damaged, right?
Damaged, yes.
So, but the good news is that we have technologies, we have medicines, we have homeopathies, we have, that we're aware of, and we mention this because we promote without necessarily selling under this thing called health products and services. We recommend many different companies that we feel are providing state-of-the-art products to help people, for example, detoxify the body of mercury. So that's a core issue on this planet because we burn so much coal. Coal produces mercury. We have systemic subacute mercury poisoning on the planet, particularly because all the stuff that blows in from China. Well, there we are. We're back again to a fossil fuel-based economy. We're burning coal. Coal not only produces mercury, it produces a lot of low-level radiation. The good news is that there are certain elements like chlorella and greens that chelate this stuff. So the fact, but unfortunately, the vast majority of people, A, don't even realize that they're necessarily being, their health is being compromised because of all this toxicity.
Absolutely.
But they don't necessarily know what to do about it. So the beauty of our position is that we point out a problem, but rather than, you know, problems and problems and problems, we always offer solutions. So I'm always on an investigative curve here of learning what can I do personally to activate and stay healthy and to continue to educate myself to what's out there and what's available to optimize health. Because without it, without real health, you know, you've got nothing.
Are you familiar with Sunrider product?
Sure.
I've been on Sunrider for a month now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about my being is changing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sleeping all night.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had to wade through a healing session because I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's ruined me, if you will.
You know, everybody's, you know, we think about food all the time, and
right.
But when you start eating, you know, green foods, and you get enough water, and you exercise, you become alive in the body.
Right.
We're all
proper
alive.
Proper nourishment
with the
accommodates stress.
So the challenge, as I see it, and it's a huge one, is lifestyle. It's behavioral. It's a behavioral situation because most people don't have the luxury or the opportunity to, because of the stress and the survival pressure, to actually begin to do those things that are necessary. So we have to take the pressure off of ourselves and the planetary ecosystem. That's the channel. That's the challenge. And what the Light Party is really talking about is creating a society and a culture that's really a yogic society, becomes a God-conscious society. That's where we're going. Wouldn't you say?
Well, I think it's good to point out yoga, a yogic society, and there's the Ayurvedic traditions and the study of the Vedas, but really yoga means unity, unification. It's union,
right.
Or sacred
well, when
union.
I, yeah, when I meant well, yoga society is that you have time. We create time for ourselves where we can actually cultivate our consciousness, become conscious. I mean, yoga is just, you know, a term. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be an Eastern path.
But again, it's back to Scalar. It's a unified, you know, unified
right.
Consciousness, a unified field. It's about union.
So part of the, you know, this consciousness is once we transform the time-death concept, we come into present time. And this is critical because then we have all the time in the world. But as you know, if you're on the wheel, you don't have enough time for anything. So it's helter-skelter, and you're running around like crazy trying to, you know, the tail between the legs, and you're running around, so the stress, and there's a breakdown. Because what's motivating you on a subconscious level is fear. The fear of death, the fear of, you know, not being able to survive, the fear of getting old, the fear of being infirm in older age. These are subconscious belief systems that generate a whole system of action, which is, in this culture, is about working very hard to make enough money so you can retire. But the problem with that catch is that most people who work very hard and save money to retire are so exhausted that by the time they finally get to that point, they all drop dead of a heart attack.
Right.
Or some very heavy debilitating disease, and their whole finances are wiped out. I see this time and time again. It's really a tragedy. Correct?
Absolutely.
So this is what we're up against.
I'm using Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Do you remember when Willy Wonka said, "There's so much time and such a very little to do"? It makes me feel better to say that. And you know, David and Dr. Sandra, I'm looking at the mindset looking at the mindset of people. And I taught a class last Sunday, and I said to the people in my class, "How long would you like to live?" And most everybody said, 85% of the class said, "Well, 70s, you know." And I said, "What about 100? What about 125? And they all, I watched the faces of the entire class look at me and say, "Oh, no, I wouldn't want to live that long." And I knew what they were thinking. When we see people out there that are in their 70s and 80s.
Yeah, they're frail, they're infirm, they have
they're
their,
frail,
their
yes. And
we don't have a healthy... it's not a healthy model that we're looking at in the U.S.
Exactly.
Especially.
And I said to these people, now let's reframe this and let's think, if you were 50 years older than you are right now and you were in such good health that you were retired for years and packing your backpack, as my granddaughter says, and you were headed out for a trip, a hiking trip across Europe, or you were doing what one of my dearest friends did last weekend at her age, you know, hiking the Grand Canyon. I can hardly hike up over the back fence, let alone the Grand Canyon, but I'm going to get there. I will. But
there
look
are
at the mind
other,
that we have.
There are
well,
other
this
models.
Is a very, this is a very important point, because for the first time in history, because there have been other cycles where, you know, if you go back into the Bible, there was Methuselah. And I know in the scale of wave technology, understanding that we can regenerate ourselves not only psychologically but on a cellular level, where this is not a big deal. Because I already know a lot of people. I know, and particularly women who are who basically are not aging at all. And I can say for my own self, I could be doing a little better. But I don't look anything close to my age. When I tell people, in quotes, what my age is, you know, they're quite amazed.
I don't see
Sandra myself.
Rose is the same way, and so am I. I mean, we have the mindset. You two are both ahead of me in the nutrition. I have been on it, off of it, been on it. Now I'm really on it, and it's getting better. But I've had that emotional and mental that has kept me from aging. Nobody believes that I will be 58 very soon.
Well, remember, we're not the body, and the mind is the creative form, as you know. Now, the body, as far as I can tell, my understanding, this is very much a part of what my foundation is about, is the reversal, studying the possibility of the reversal of the aging process. Little did I know at the time, because I was obviously still channeling it, but I was, you know, I'm an old alchemist. How do you turn it around? And it isn't just about an ego thing. Well, I don't want to, you know. It's not about that at all. It's about vitality, because the fact of the matter is, when we come into mastery, and that's why we're on this planet, is to come into full mastery. You can recreate yourself. You can go forward. You can go back, because time is very fluid. It's not. But if you concretize it and you crystallize it in your mind, well, I'm getting old, and you have an image that, you know, like you're saying, when I'm 70, I'm going to be this way, then that's a picture in the mind. And then the mind creates that image. So you know, a lot of people understand that, you know, visualization. But we're at a time now that's very special because, A, we have the scientific knowledge, particularly in terms of nutrition, for optimal cellular health, point one. But most importantly, we're in a vibrational change. So the fact is that we're going to move more and more into prana and more into a lightness of being. The body becomes lighter. The body, we begin to understand that the body is not solid at all. The body is an energy matrix, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely
correct.
Which is
very trippy.
We're seeing it very dynamically with the biosphere technology. But it's what I say about that is it's an infinity wave. Infinity lasts a long time. We are eternal beings. And it's about remembering who we really are and all that we really have access to, which is the unlimited, always
right.
In every moment.
Well, that's what the light party is talking about, is a consciousness. We won't get into God here. Let's just talk about consciousness is infinite. Now, if consciousness is infinite, we are consciousness itself. Where are the limits? Well, the limits are the limits that we have created for ourselves. And that's, you know, that's what, if you want to put the idea of the devil out there, the devil is the creator of limitation. So we bought into this limitation. For example, allopathic medicine very clearly says it's this way or no way. This is the way. This is, you know, this is the patriarchal system. We've got the final truth on everything, and this is how it is. And, you know, chiropractic and hypnotherapy, and which is being integrated into the mainstream. I'll give the medical profession credit for that. Homeopathy. This is all considered bogus. Well, the same thing with the energy equation. There's infinite energy, and yet we've locked ourselves into a very dangerous fossil fuel-based economy. Well, we know that that's just one very small aspect of a whole spectrum of possibilities, correct? And, of course, as you know, we've spoke before, we've got friends in high places called extraterrestrial intelligences who are going to be make their presence more and more dramatic on this planet, and they have the technology and the ability, which has been transmitted to human beings through different inventors, but they have the absolute ability to cleaning up this planet with their technology and their advanced understanding in a heartbeat.
Yeah, by
literally.
The way, on that concept, I believe I was told just this last week that the Canadian government has admitted the presence of extraterrestrial of extraterrestrial influences. I do want to say I worked with a Russian cosmonaut this is 20 years ago, who said it was, you know, totally common knowledge in Russia that there were extraterrestrials.
Well, it's common knowledge.
And so this
among
is suppressed information here.
It's common knowledge among indigenous people. It's common knowledge of people in Mexico. It's common knowledge of all the star seeds that are on this planet. Because I'd ask you, you know, what's your origin? Where'd you come from? Some people are actually Earth people. I'm not an Earth people. I mean, I love the Earth, but I'm a Syrian. I've been aware of my, you know, I'm from out there. You know, we're here to ground onto this planet and help in the ascension. And we've got powerful friends in high places that are operating in other dimensions, correct? And they're showing up. You know,
again, remembrance of who we are, all that we are, and all that we have access to. We've got great friends in very high places.
It's a big peekaboo game. I mean, it's really kind of a big, you know, we've got crime circles. You know, humanity is being prepared, I feel, psychologically for a meta-event, which is to understand multidimensional awareness. And you know that the Earth is going through an initiation, as is humanity, into a place of real freedom and love and joy and all the good stuff that has been spoken about by mystics and saints and, you know, Christ himself, that, you know, the kingdom of heaven is within, and joy and freedom and love are the real eternal verities that is our inherent nature. However, we've been heavily conditioned, and that's the, you know, that's the veils. So how do we get beyond the conditioning? How do we get beyond the veils? There's lots of ways. You know, I came through the 60s. I mean, we had our veils opened up through the psychedelic revolution. That was just, you know, realizing, my God, this is just an illusory world that's, you know, created through filters of the mind. Transform the mind, transform the perception, transform the attitude. And this is the work. This is spiritual work. And there are many different ways to do that. There is a Buddhic program. There's a Christian program. There's the mystic programs. There's the Kabbalah. There are many different things now that are available for any individual who is really interested in self-knowledge.
I really hope we're not supposed to just pick one. I think I've spread myself thin.
Well, this is the age of synthesis. You know, this is the age of the Aquarian age is the age of spiritual freedom. And we have this information that's available to humanity, to the masses, which has always been in quotes occult or mystical or, you know, you had to go into a cave, you had to, you know, you had to retreat from the world, you had to renounce the world, all that kind of stuff. And today, you know, in the world, not of it, but we are anchored, we're committed, we are here to co-create a new reality. This is the great challenge. I see it as a great art project. That's how I hold it in my consciousness. It's just a big art project. We're all artists, and we're all painters, and we're all creating realities, and we can change ourselves, we can change the world. However, you know, what does that look like? What do we need to do on a very practical level on the daily day-to-day to be an effective change agent? How do we support the evolution of consciousness? How do we do it? That's what the Light Party really addresses.
But how do we create the world that we really want to live in? And it is a choice, and it is a creative, very, very creative process. And it's very choice-oriented. And some of this, you talk about the political activism, some of this very, very practical at a day-to-day level of what are we voting for? You know, every dollar that we spend is a vote. And what are we voting for on the planet?
That's what I say. The new politics is what do you buy and what are you buying into?
Yeah, and the law of consumer demand is powerful.
Well, yeah, dollar, what I'm saying, you know, it's not only what you buy, but what beliefs are you buying into? And that's the, you know, that's the battlefield of the mind where there are certain forces and agendas that want to keep you believing, you know, the war on terror, the war on drug, the war on cancer. You know, they're always, you know, it's duality programming. And as soon as you create a war, whatever it is, you've absolutely lost because you've set up an antagonistic pole. So
very
how do
good.
You
I put that. What are you buying into? You know.
Yeah,
and again,
yeah.
What are you feeding? I mean, people have been literally feeding their old programs with their food choices. I mean, literally stuffing their feelings and things like that versus choosing those things that create more vitality, more aliveness, more awareness.
Business is very responsive. Business is very responsive. It's like neutral. I mean, on some levels we've been programmed and commercialized, but business is responsive to what people want. Now, just study what's happening.
Consumer demand is our power.
Yeah, right. The law of supply and demand. Now, the corruption has been, we've been told what we want. You know, like war has been told to us. Disease has been sold. I mean, just watch television. You know, all the drug companies, I mean, we're being pumped with this all the time. If you are in that matrix, you know, just watch television. It's nonstop commercialism, it's manipulation, it's bullshit. You know, but if you don't know that, you know, you're in trouble because they've got you by the, you know what? Because they've got, you know, you're buying into the fear, you're buying into the limitations. You know, the Arabs are going to get us, the Muslims are crazy. You know, I mean, go on and on.
Right.
And I'm not saying there isn't some reality to that. But, you know, I always joke, I mean, most of the people on this planet are crazy. Sanity is is an outcome of enlightenment. And the good news is there are more and more sane people because when we finally wake up, we go, my God, what have we been doing to ourselves? You know, why are we, you know, just the idea of carrying a gun and thinking about shooting somebody. From your perspective, from mine, it's like, you know, come on now, folks. What's going on here? Why is, you know, the question, why the violence, why the hatred, why the anger? What is that which has created that mindset that has set man against himself? I mean, these are big philosophical questions, and I'm sure you've got some answers to that.
Yeah.
I'd like to know myself.
Tell some me. Of it's been addiction.
Why?
People have literally been programmed, you know, into these addictive thoughts. I mean, an addiction, you know, addiction to abuse. I mean, and some of it's been with the food. You're not going to create peace on the planet if you're putting in foods that do not create peace within, for example.
Or the way we treat the animals. The whole factory farming thing
one.
Is a total abomination.
Yeah, it's an abomination.
Yeah, and you don't have more aliveness, more life force, more peace, more joy, more happiness. You know, if you're, you know, putting, if you're doing more debt.
Yeah,
you know,
eating
if you're putting in more debt stuff.
Right, eating debt.
So, you know, we're really back to this, seems to be, you know, what Einstein said, the race between ignorance and enlightenment. You know, annihilation is basically the result of, I give you a really good example. It's kind of a joke. Years ago, I was driving down to L.A. I was in L.A. going to a convention. It was 11 o'clock in the morning, and we were stuck on this L.A. freeway, and you couldn't see the San Bernardino Mountains. So we were stuck in traffic at 11 o'clock in the morning, stuck with all this smog. And I turned to my friend. I said, "This is the result of billions of bad decisions."
Yeah, billions.
It stinks.
Stuck on a highway in a car, couldn't even see. You know, couldn't, you know, destroying. You know, gassing ourselves. Literally gassing ourselves.
Literally, yeah. Mm-hmm. I attempted to go to the L.A. Fair one year, and it's out in Chino, California. I'm from California. We were on the freeway trying to pull onto the fairgrounds, and I couldn't breathe in all the exhaust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it put me into a panic attack. And
that's amazing, because that happened to a friend of mine.
I was out with my boyfriend, and I had to say to him, you have to get me out of the traffic. I can't breathe. I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we've certainly, you know, Bucky Fuller said that, you know, Spaceship Earth, that the man's basic, when I say man, I mean humanity's basic role is creative problem solving. So we've really, you know, created quite a situation for ourselves, and we can rethink it. You know, that's what repent means. We can reformulate, we can repent, we can, you know, use our innate God-given intelligence, keyword intelligence, to first understand on a very deep level, not symptomatically, that's different between allopathic and holistic, that you can really grasp on a deep level what the challenges are. Until we really understand what the foundation of the, in quotes, problems are, you just create more illusion. So you need, that's where we come in, you need a higher perspective. You have to be able to see past, present, future. You have to be able to step back, sit on the mountain, and take a good, you know, bird's eye view, so you have perspective. Now, the fact of the matter is, most political and corporate people do not have perspective because they're so wrapped up in, you know, a 3D matrix that they don't have time to philosophically analyze anything from a clear space. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, and I want to point out, too, that empowerment, I've talked a lot about this, it really simply means making healthier choices, and that's
right.
True empowerment. And enlightenment with our technology, with the scalar technology, but this is also with live foods. It's like it's literally turning the lights on at a cellular level, cellular enlightenment. And that's where we really start lightening up, and you become more and more conscious or more and more aware to that point where it's like, why would I do that? If you love yourself, if you love humanity, you're not going to keep poisoning yourself or poisoning the world at any level. Making healthier choices at every single level and becoming more and more conscious of our choices and how they affect everything.
Well, that means real responsibility, correct?
Responsibility, the ability to respond.
I've been through your scalar wave. My friend Orion, actually setting it up again in San Rafael, has your, you know, all the computer. I went through a whole program with the scalar wave technology room for quite some time, actually. So,
Sandra
cool. Michaels, right?
Yeah. Yes.
But, you know,
and
but back to this, you know,
on
a, you know, practical level, we have to really be compassionate and understand the predicament that most people are in, which is this intense survival pressure that, you know, you live in Hawaii. I live a very blessed life. I got out of the matrix a long time ago, and I've been committed and have committed my energy to a big vision, you know, called Health, Peace, and Freedom for All, which is, you know, what I'm about. And It's a personal.
It is our life, and it is a commitment. It's accountability. It's responsibility. Knowing what we know, what can we do? And our technology, you know, the technology I developed came out of that question: how do we bring consciousness? How do we bring enlightenment to the masses? How do we heal the world?
Well, the one thing we have going for us is this thing called synergy, the power of synergy, and this is how the enlightenment. Because on our own, we're, you know, it's a tough road to hoe. But the fact is, when we connect in our hearts, in our minds, with pure intent, and one of the phenomena that are happening that is really elevating the consciousness very quickly of humanity, because it is all connected, is these global peace prayers and meditations, which is significantly shifting the vibration. And particularly, I'm sure you know that there's the different rays, particularly the violet flame, that is really, you know, an energy of grace that's transmuting. If it wasn't for the light workers and the really committed spiritual people from the Buddhist community and the Saint Germain people who are working all the time, diligently, quietly, behind the scene, working with the violet flame and things like that in different rays to transmute the negativity on the planet, the fear, and, you know, all of that. And there's going to come a point, and I believe we've already reached critical mass, where these forces, these dark negative energies, will all be transmuted, and we will begin to perceive the world as a very, very beautiful, pristine place, which I'm already experiencing. I mean, in the last month, last 2 months, last 3 months, there have been profound energy shifts, and I'm sure particularly you living in Hawaii, you've got to be aware of how much more light there is coming onto the planet. It's quite
well,
awesome.
Well, and Hawaii, it does hold the paradise template for the world. You know, it's in the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. That is our promise of what we've, what our intention, our global intention is, is in that recreation, recreation of a new heaven and a new earth, and it's through us.
So from your perspective, speaking to both of you, so do you believe, I mean, that there's a prime intelligence or Godhead that's, which is in us and is all of us, that's sort of directing, you know, through creativity, that there is an intention in the universe to liberate and to perfect and to create something that has never been created before? That's how I see it. Again,
I certainly believe that.
The power that made the body heals the body, and it's that connection to that infinite innate intelligence. And we can connect to that to in any, every, and all moments, and it's only a breath away, really. As soon as you breathe, it's no longer out there, it's within you. And that was part of the power and the promise of Aloha.
Yeah, well, I mean, we wouldn't have a conversation for a moment if we weren't connected to Source. But, you know, from a Buddhist perspective, the challenge is the conditioning of the mind, which is, you know, the tricky business. What's in the subconscious? What are the core beliefs? So I would just shift gears here, and I would just alert the audience to this really powerful thing we've created called Artainment. And we've taken super conscious sacred geometries with beautiful music that are really from the super conscious archetypal level, and we feed it through television back into the subconscious mind. And this really powerfully activates, it activates consciousness in a really beautiful way. So we've created this thing called Artainment, which is really a breakthrough. It's not subliminal, it's superliminal, because we're working with all the archetypal powers on the Tree of Life, and we're feeding it back to you, the viewer. But not only does it affect you personally, but when it feeds back, and I'm mentioning this story, because we've shown a lot of this stuff on Maui, but I've actually taken this to Kauai, and I said to my friends out there, and they started showing it on public access TV, watch how it affects the elements. Because God's honest truth, we started showing, because we have these very beautiful, rich, pristine colors. And there were rainbows happening all over the island after this thing was shown on television. Now, I mention that because the promise that we have here, we have this thing called the Internet, obviously, and we have global media. But it's been used, you know, unconsciously, and it's been used, I don't mean the Internet per se. The Internet has become a liberating tool. The double-edged sword of the Internet is there's so much information on there that, you know, you can spend this life and the next 50 trying to, you know, absorb all the information. But the global television network has, we are linked now, so we have the ability now to generate and transmit information that's very empowering. And that's what Artainment is about. We're working with universal images, mandalic images that speak directly. It's like the crop circles that has one message, unity, 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 unity. And that's what the ETs are basically preparing humanity is for, that unification that paradoxically already is. I mean, unity isn't something that went away. You know, like people are waiting for Christ to come back. Where did he go? Took a sabbatical?
Yeah, the crop circles are really a good example of just a really clear primal communication that should be so obvious to everybody who looks at them. I remember my son, when he first saw the crop circles, he goes, don't people get it? Don't they know what that says? It's just like so obvious. Don't they know
it's
what
obvious.
That means?
It's Sandra, it's obvious to those people. It's obvious to. I mean, that's the cat and mouse game. I mean, there's a big game of denial going on planet Earth, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
And it's really about remembrance.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Listen, let me break in here, please, for just one moment. Guys, I know this is good stuff. It's just about 8:30, and I'd like to let our engineers know that we're going to take a few-minute break, give everybody a chance to get a drink, rest their voice for a minute, do whatever they need to do, and want to send out a very special thanks for a couple of our sponsors, Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine is now in this month's issue running Talk Truth Radio ad for us, and it's a wonderful paranormal magazine. It's used to be created by Llewellyn, and Phyllis Galdi purchased it several years back and has just done a phenomenal job. Go to the website, fatemag.com, and if you'll go onto her site and go to contact us and say, we heard you on bbsradio.com, Talk Truth Radio with Dr. Rain and Dr. Sandra and everybody that comes on our show. Ask for free stuff. There's T-shirts and back issues of magazines and ball caps and I don't know what all there is, but there's a bunch of good stuff. Fate Magazine. It's a really wonderful magazine. And then one of my favorites also is Utadi oils. I am very into essential oils, and Utadi sends out to their mailing list about the radio show, and so we want to honor them. Utadi is the finest Egyptian-made medicinal oil, seventh generation family essential oil makers. Riad Utadi does a wonderful job, so you can go to utadioil.com and see all of their stuff. Fabulous. So if we have an engineer out there listening to us,
we're going to take a break. We're going to have the Scalar E music for people to listen to during
Did
the break,
receive
I believe.
It? They received Pardon? The music?
Oh, they have it, and they've been playing it for us, from what I understand. They're going
to
put the Scalar E.
Well, we never get to hear it, no? We never get to hear the music. So, Seth, Dawn, somebody out there that can take us to break?
Stands alone. promise that I'll see you again.
Hey, and thanks for staying with us. Hope you had a good little break there, got a drink of water, and replenish yourself. Thank you for staying with us here at Talk Truth Radio. We create this show for you every Wednesday night at 7:30 to help to raise the consciousness of our Earth. Our very special guest this evening is David, Dr. David. And he is the creator of the Light Party. David, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
I would love to have you talk some about the Alcatraz Island Project.
Great. The Alcatraz Conversion Project.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the Global Peace Center picture of it, and I want to remind you folks, go to thelightparty.com. Check out this website. It is absolutely amazing. David, did you do this site, or who did this site for you if you didn't do it?
Well, I work with an artist named Daniel Holman, who's the webmaster, and prior to that I was working with my partner, Harpreet Sandhu. So this has been a collaborative effort, but, you know, I designed it, and Daniel helped out and offered, you know, we've been collaborating on this, and a lot of what I do is I just archive a lot of information now, and because we have a template, we have these different sections, projects, you know, the seven sections, and everything fits into there, and then we have a thing called Information Headquarters, where, because I do a lot of extensive reading, and I pull articles here, and the beauty is we have this opportunity to slot it into all these different, you know, like on new energy technology, it goes under Project Light on terms of Project Peace. We'll talk about different peace groups and peace movements, and I mean, there's so much going on. And then I have an extensive section on, obviously, on Project Health, where we talk about all kinds of breakthroughs that are happening in medicine, from nutrition to psychological to spiritual. And one of the very big sections is on spirituality, which I don't know if you've had a chance to go through that. but you'll see.
I haven't gone through it, but David, I want to ask you right now. I know that you only have another hour with us.
Right.
You're not able to do the full show, which we could do six of these.
I really would love
to book you again so that we can get into the spirituality more.
Right.
That part of your website. I also would, when we finish talking about Alcatraz or whatever else you want to talk about.
No, this is great. Definitely, this is key because this is front and center right now. We're going to have a ballot initiative. This is a vision that came through very strong in 1978. Basically, the idea here is to turn Alcatraz Island into the Global Peace Center. And if people want to learn more, they go to globalpeacefoundation.org. But we actually will have a ballot initiative in 2008. We just got all the required signatures to put this as a ballot proposal that the island of Alcatraz be returned to the city and be acquired by the city and county of San Francisco for the express purpose of creating the Global Peace Center. And we're working very closely with a lot of the Native American elders and to sanctify and to recreate and transform the energy right now on this island, using scalar wave technologies to turn it into a powerful light center, which is its destiny, because thousands of years ago it used to be called Crystal Island, and then it got covered up and turned into a, into a dark space.
Right.
So to me, it's a metaphor, as I said, it's a metaphor of transforming that which is something which was quite negative, that represented the 3D paradigm of basically incarceration. I mean, to be perfectly honest, Alcatraz was a concentration camp. And there it is sitting in one of the most beautiful cities in the world, and that's what is being reflected as a, what I call Alcatraz, and rather than creating something that's reflective of the consciousness of San Francisco, the city of St. Francis, and there's a tremendous amount of enlightened people here, spiritual people, business people, to build something that is really reflective of a higher consciousness. And that's the vision. So it's really an opportunity to walk the talk here.
Yeah. It says on the first page of your Global Peace Center here, by converting Alcatraz Island, a place of pain and suffering, into a jewel of light, we will activate powerful forces for cooperation, reconciliation, and healing. This is a fabulous thing, and I want to offer whatever I can do to be part of this or help with this or add to this in any way. Please let me know. It's a fabulous.
Yeah,
well,
I do want to say, too, I mean, it's a great, great project. I really want to acknowledge that. And it's about moving. I mean, really making those conscious statements that allow that shift from enslavement to freedom through enlightenment and peace. And I do work with the International Parliament for Safety and Peace, and I would like to also commit to support from, through the International Parliament, and also through the Global Foundation for Integrative Medicine. I would like to make that a part of it. Of course, I'm the Vice Chancellor of Energy Medicine under UNESCO.
Okay.
And,
we'd
like to make that this, we'd like to give our support.
Well, if you go to the website, we have a thing called Organizations and Associations and Support. So we're building this tremendous grassroots support. It's not about money, just saying, yes, we support this. And like yourself, your organization saying, yes, we support this. So when it hits the ballot in 2008, we can easily have 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 organizations to go, yes, 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 let's do it. I just had a darshan and a connection with Amici, and we're looking to have Amici not just bless it, but to put her name to it, and same thing with a lot of Native American elders. So we just want to create a big yes here. To me, this is what it represents, if I may share that.
Absolutely.
I'm an artist. I mean, that's one of my. We want to build on this island is an advanced, what we call the Harmonium, an advanced multimedia center. We're calling it the. It's an architecturally advanced, artainment, supersensory multimedia facility, which will feature laser light, holographic sound, and fragrances. The Harmonium will feature these various innovative technologies. It'll basically be a scalar wave space, like a Taj Mahal, or as soon as you walk into that environment, it'll be like you'll be like in the Redwoods. You'll be in that pure harmonic, like I say, a Taj Mahal. It'll be a sacred cathedral-type space, but it's non-denominational. But this is what it really represents, as far as I'm concerned, is that the Global Peace Center, this is the creating of it, signals the completion, the beginning of a grand cycle of evolution within our multidimensional universe and ushers in the long-awaited golden age. We look forward with confidence to the perfect realization of the sacred and majestic project until the time when we all collectively acknowledge ourselves for a job extraordinarily well done. And what this is really about, by putting this into the mainstream, and this is what, you know, Sandra, I know you got it, is it's going to activate people's minds. It's going to be a remembrance because it's going to move you out of this 3D linear time frame. When you see domes on the island and a pyramid, it's going to bring back, not for everybody, obviously, a certain remembrance to Atlantis, a certain remembrance to Lemuria, a certain remembrance to the fact that we're citizens of the cosmos. It's an awakening. It's a catalytic program. It's a catalytic process. It's a catalytic project to get people to start thinking in a whole other frame of mind. So,
yeah, where people can literally see, experience, and know that change is real.
Right. Just the fact that it's going to show up in the mainstream is going to be, you know, there'll be a lot of people who are cynical and, you know, this is woo-woo and this is New Age and this is, you know, I get that all the time and, you know, how are you going to do it? And, you know, we go out getting signatures and people say, well, you know, we really like the prison out there, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, and that's fine. But we're really, you know, handing this, you know, here it is, world, what do you think about this? What about, let's do this? Because if you study history and you study art history and you study civilizations, you go back to 5th century BC, and of course history goes way, 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 way back before all that. What was created there was the Parthenon, and that was the template for the Golden Age of Greece.